playing live, Steve, you mentioned doing a cover of Mustang Sally.
It was a joke.
It was a joke. However, I do know from reading up about you guys that you did, back in the day, start off, like a lot of bands, playing covers. I'd just be curious to know what sort of covers you played and why you played them.
It was before Steve's time. There was a guy called Aaron. We were just, funny enough, whilst we were waiting, I was just showing these two some pictures of the first incarnation of God Sticks a couple of years ago. We were doing those covers. We only ever did three gigs. We did a couple of Frank Zappa songs, so they weren't your average covers. This is why we didn't last too long, because we discovered that the reason was no one was playing these covers, because nobody wanted to listen to them. So he's playing like RDNZ, Elvis Zappa, still doing it, Chidna's R for You, Hung for Brown, and then we did like, I think, two Steve Vai songs, Die to Live and Boston Rain Melody. We did a Mike Stern song called Chromosome. So all these bizarre sort of fusion tunes that... all instrumentals as well. So there's a three-piece, it's me, Jason, and Aaron. Yeah, we did three gigs. It was good, because it was really good grounding for us, because I think I was the first, I was actually the first band, this is the first band I was ever in.
And you said it's going to be the last.
First and last, yeah, not doing anything else.
That seems pretty, I've got to say, that seems pretty challenging to sort of set off on your first footing with Frank Zappa. I mean, you know, with Frank Zappa covers and things, that's not exactly...
Because it was so difficult, I suppose it made you feel a bit better, because there was no shame in cocking it all up, really, in a sense. Because I always found the easier stuff more difficult, if you know what I mean. You know, I'd probably find playing a Beatles track or something more difficult than playing
because it'd be quite boring.
Oh, God, it's a judgment, isn't it? No, it's just the easier it is, the harder I find it, and I suppose maybe that's because there's no shame in just messing up a complex instrumental song, whereas it's probably a bit of shame in not being able to, you know, strum E and A or something like that. Maybe that's why.
You psychological. Can't.
I probably can't. I can. I still practice things like that. I still practice, you know. I believe I shouldn't admit it, but I still practice like strumming Beatles songs and things like that. What's wrong with that?
Absolutely nothing wrong with that at all.
Thank you, Darren.
Nothing at all.
If it isn't something complex by a prog artist, he's just not interested.
No, it's just, you know, you're not allowed to not be a Beatles fan.
I'm not saying I'm a Beatles fan. In fact, I probably am. I don't listen to them anymore, but I would say they were influenced when I was growing up.
What was that, Dan?
Dan said shit. If you didn't catch that, then Darren, Dan said shit in the background.
In reference to the Beatles.
Yeah.
How can you say that?
Shit. You've got no idea. He's only a puppy, though, isn't he, Dan?
I didn't say musically. Just like not for me.
What we listen to?
I've heard you say worse.
We listen to. Of course, you've heard me say worse, but not in reference to that. But he's still young, see, and I think what year was it when I was starting? So anyway, my mate was well into the Beatles, and so I was forced to listen to them, and whether you like them or not, you can still got to respect what they did.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to avoid, though. I mean, in all honesty, musically, they're just, whatever style of music, if you're in a band and you're doing things, it's very difficult to sort of, you know, keep them, to totally ignore what they did and things. I mean, even if you'd have
Dan's just a puppy. He doesn't realise. He'll learn.
That's my lessons I've learned so far.
Well, I do teach him lessons. I ask, because he's young.
A bit of homeschooling.
I think wherever band he's in next, he'd be more than prepared, because we've basically abused him to within an inch of his life. the only way is up for Dan.
And that, we don't play that one either.
Yeah. The cover band, three gigs was all we managed, because it was just impossible to... It was impossible to land any gig. If I think it's difficult now, it was impossible back then. But yeah, it was a really good grounding, to be honest with you. And I think for a first band, it was a good one to be in, for me anyway.
No, like I say, I mean, that's really interesting that you sort of cut your chops playing Zappa and Steve Vai numbers. You know, that's you know, you set yourself a high sort of, you know, a high benchmark by doing that, you know. You mentioned earlier as well about the another album, which you're working on. Some songs are complete already, some are finished. How, two questions really, which link together. How long did it take to record and put Spiral Vendetta together, and what would your ballpark figure be for the release of the forthcoming album, and what can you tell me about the forthcoming album?
The recording process didn't actually take that long, did it? It's the preparation and everything that went into it, the writing and the, getting the arrangements right, getting all the demos, you know, the arrangement of the demos as they should be. And then, obviously, with the production of it, making sure that was okay, and the actual mixes and everything, that took quite a...
Yeah, the production, like I said, going in the studio, we'd rehearsed, me and Steve, even though it was just two of us, we'd rehearsed twice a week for these tracks for about 3 months to make sure that they were solid, you know, and that we didn't have any trouble in the studio, because we were on a budget, we did have a budget, but...
Well, time limit, really.
Yeah, it was a time limit, but the writing, it always takes ages for us, because we're just constantly in the ass, constantly changing, because it's a good thing. A track usually takes about 6 months to write. We always got a couple on the go.
Always. A couple of margarines on the go.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare scenario.
Recording. But it was, they constantly, they always evolve, but it's sort of, I've said it before, track always has got to prove it to us. If we're bored of it, and we don't enjoy listening to it, then it usually gets scrapped. And mm-hmm. There has been occasions where I've scrapped a couple of songs in the last 2 months. But it has to be, it has to be perfect for us. We have to consider it to be perfect. It's not to say that other people are going to find it perfect, but that album took us about 12 months, right?
Well, yeah, but it wasn't like 12 months solidly. It was like, you know, over the weeks, and if you added all that, months and weeks, it would probably, if we could work on it every day, constantly, it'd probably be just a couple of months, wouldn't it, really?
12.
But then, again, it's like the, you know, taking it back and listening to it, so yeah, I understand what you mean.
Well, we had Norman written when we did that very first gig that you said Mick went doing, the CR, the Sport Magenta. And that ended up changing, because we thought we'd finish that song, and then 8 months later we ended up changing, because it just felt like there was something missing from the track, and it turns out it was the second verse.
Yeah.
Because that's what often happens to us, because we get, because I suppose we've got a short attention span, the reason the songs take so long is because we'd go, you know, some of the changes, we just go from, get bored, move to something else, move to something else, and then you listen back after a month ago, you think, well, what are you doing? You know, that's just, you've got to let songs grow a little bit before you start changing it, and because of the way we write, we're often guilty of cramming too much in a short space of time, but we usually, hopefully, resolve it. But with the new album, hopefully, we plan to go in the studio in January, but whether that pans out, I don't know.
Well, as near as there we can do it, you know, the early 2012.
We've got to set goals for ourselves, because we'll end up taking forever, you know. We're 8 songs in. Steve's in charge of writing the instrumental track, because I can't write, that's it for me. The continuation of it is the only instrumental song I'll ever write, I think.
Well, all the songs are instrumentals, as you put words to them.
Well, yeah, they, I suppose, yeah. But Steve has to write an instrumental that doesn't feature any words.
That's all.
That's the...
Not necessarily no vocals, but no...
It's got to be 10... We've got strict criteria, it's got to be 10 tracks. Don't ask me why you say... I don't know why I like the 10-track album. I just like 10-track albums. We're 8 tracks in, 4 of them are written. Steve got to do the instrument.
Sometimes if the instrumental turns out to be 15 minutes long.
I don't mind, whatever. You've got to start the bastard thing first,
though,
Steve. You know, 15 minutes. how about 15 seconds? I've been enjoying just listening to 15 seconds of it. Oh, I'll get around to it. Oh, I've got to learn how to use it. Yeah, get on with it. Anyway, so that's an argument that shouldn't have been made. it's always a... At the moment, I'm just going through a path, I'm just bereft of ideas at the moment in the last 4 weeks. I had a good run for about 4 months, just writing, Steve, give us a part for this, Steve, give us a part for that, what do you think of this? And now it's, I just got no ideas at all. Same old shit, basically, and I refuse to copy, you know, I don't want to repeat myself.
Bit of a creative lull at the moment, then, really.
It always happens, you can't, but... It's always frustrating when I'm writing, I always want to, I think, I always want to practice, you know, I always want to transcribe stuff, learn new things, learn new scales, same as Steve's got the same, learn new pieces, and then when you got all the time to practice, you think, I want to be writing, so you're just never satisfied.
I'm working on some piano stuff, and that hopefully
I reckon that's bollocks, right? You are working on piano stuff. And we had this argument in practice the other day, in that, Steve, have you started by instrumental? No, I've been practicing, you know, Keith Emerson pieces or something like that. And it's because he can't be asked. He's going to have to do it.
It's not.
You're going to have to do it sometimes. Whilst we're recording this interview then, when do you envisage, Steve, the instrumental track of the new album being ready? When would you say?
Probably November.
We've got a commitment there, Dan.
November. So when I contact you guys again for an update,
yeah,
you'll be able to say, yep, instrumental track in the bag.
Yeah, Steve?
November the 30th.
All right, well, it's still November, you know.
It's
you've got more out of him than I've got out of him, you know, in the last...
Well, it'll have to be done by then.
Yeah. That's not to say that he doesn't, you know...
It's not that I can't, it's just, everything else.
Oh, yeah, life, and bad, and
Do you ever showcase, like, forthcoming material when you play live? I mean, is that something you consider, or you... But, I'm guessing you... sorry about this, but I'm guessing you're going to say no. But would you actually, I mean, you say you're 8 tracks into the new album, would you kind of, you know, bring a couple of them out to play in a live situation, or would you sort of keep them under your hat until the actual album's put to bed and things?
We did when we did Spider-Man, we used to play Tim Shell and Norman live, if you remember.
Yeah.
We did play Tim Shell and Norman
there's
live.
There's at least two, now that we could do it.
Yeah, it's not that we... Yeah, we are going to, and I think I said in the news update that we're going to, I said that we were going to play a new track at this Cambridge Rock Festival, and hopefully nobody have read that news because we haven't rehearsed it or anything like that, so,
no,
we definitely will, it's not a principle or anything like that, I think we will, until everything's written for me, even though, you know, there's 8 tracks in, 4 tracks are written.
But against all the recording, if we do use like a backing track of something, that's going to be right as well.
Yeah. I need to get things finished in my head. I want this album, I want to go in recording it in January. I've got a name of the album, I've decided on the name, and... I'll ask you.
Can I ask you what the name is, or is that going to...
I don't even know what it is.
Well, you do, because you... Death to Tuesday.
Death to Tuesday? Wow.
I thought... What do you think of that?
Well...
What do you think, Darren?
I like it. It's very, you know...
I don't think it's negative. Was it negative? Death to Tuesday.
It's just quite profound, you know. It's just something really, you know. Yeah, sure, it's got the sort of melancholy aspect to it and all the rest of it, but that's just quite a profound statement, you know. And again, dare I ask whether, is that just you just like the sound of that Death to Tuesday, or is there any sort of relevance?
There is a bit of relevance.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we can't include today in that, but...
Yeah.
Tuesdays are generally the most boring.
I hate Tuesdays, you know. Again, I think that's a boring answer.
Nothing
in a way.
Going on.
I despise Tuesdays. I absolutely hate them. It's the worst day of the week. You know, I just don't like Tuesdays. I'll give it a... You know,
what's about a Tuesday? Why, dare I ask, why?
Explanation is, You know, it's not quite... Monday you accept. You accept that you're going to be knackered on a Monday. It's always the same. And you accept it.
But it's even worse when you get to Tuesday and you're like, oh, we're only on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're only on Tuesday and I'm still tired. What's going on? You know, you haven't got the excuses. Monday you haven't got the acceptance there. It's just a
Wednesday
non-Monday.
Wednesday midweek, there's things going on. Oh, yeah.
I don't like Wednesday, mind. To be honest, I could call it any day of the week, if I'm honest. Death to any day of the week, bar Saturday. I don't mind Saturday. But that's not as catchy. I don't get me wrong, I suppose I sound like I'm bleak or anything.
That's the working title,
eh? Yeah, well, Steve don't like it, see? He don't like Death to Tuesday. I had another one. It was Brief Foray into Wellbeing.
Sorry, I didn't catch that, Dan. What was that?
Brief Foray into Wellbeing. But I don't like that anymore.
That sounds like a Brian Eno, so...
Yeah, that's depressing. That's depressing. But I like Death to Tuesday. I don't see that as being... negative. I don't think it's negative.
I imagine we get a lot of people on.
I think you're going to know who won the argument by January, suppose. Well, it's only 5th of January. I think that I'm going to win the argument anyway, because I think that you've sided with me, Darren, for a start, so there's one ally. Dan?
As with everything, I'm neutral.
You know, you make a decision now. Well, maybe you could ask him the question, Darren, because I never get any answers out of Dan. Maybe you could ask him the question, what do you think?
Dan, what do you think of the forthcoming title for the new album, Death to Tuesday, good or not?
You should promote when the album comes out, have the like, album launch on a Tuesday.
Yeah, well, then
we... see what the reaction is.
Well, then we'd kill ourselves, I suppose. That would be...
No one would come out.
I think any date we get offered as for an album launch would be taken anyway. I don't think we'll have a choice of days, Dan. But as long as you, well, I think I like that title anyway, and to be honest with you, I think that I'll win the argument.
I mean, I look at that as in, you could call it the DTs. It's got the letter D and then two T's.
Mm.
And the DTs.
DDT, no. Death to Tuesday it is, anyway. We decided, anyway. Thanks for settling that argument, anyway, Dan.
Are you going to say you can use the same recording studio that you used for Spiral Vendetta, or do you...
Hopefully.
Where we did the drums, we can't... That's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, it was... Yeah, this... Joe, the producer, yeah, the cottage. Well, it was in the middle of nowhere.
It was like Whitney and I, it was brilliant.
Yeah. It was a cottage in the middle of nowhere. My task for the weekend when we recorded the drums was cutting wood in a barn and bringing it in. That was it, that was the truth. They drank in the evenings, they went out in the evenings and drank. I stayed in, ate my cereal and watched Match of the Day. I'm no rock and roll, I'm the one with a better description, I don't mind. But it was good, yeah, we did it. I wanted to go home, don't get me wrong, but the setting and the stone walls and the stone floors for recording the drums. It was a great sound. So we're going to have to find somewhere similar to that because we like the drum sound.
Maybe in castles and then, okay.
But for recording the other instruments, it doesn't really matter. For recording the amp, you know, as long as you've got a mic in front of it. Same with the vocals. Got to be in the studio, but it doesn't matter where. So drum sound is important. Is wherever we record that, and unfortunately, where we recorded it is no longer a possibility, I don't think.
Yeah.
We sold the property. Oh, no, we rented it. We no longer rent
it.
We
rented it to someone else.
So we're going to have to find somewhere new.
I'm sure you will. So listen, guys, you've mentioned it a couple of times. It seems the big gig for you guys on the horizon, the immediate horizon at least, is this Cambridge Rock Festival. When is that taking place, can I ask?
Friday on, we're on to 10 to 7.
It's early evening.
Early evening, we're on 10 to 7, we've got an hour. They've granted us an hour.
The CRS stage.
The CRS stage in the Cambridge Rock Festival.
And what's the date of that?
Friday, this Friday.
This coming Friday, wow.
So, that's what we've got to try and get a rehearsal in now this week. We rehearsed last week. But Dan's doing some nonsense on a Wednesday. Steve's out with a woman on a Thursday. That's no excuse, is it? That's no excuse not to practice. So we got to try and find... But like I said, I wish we could have done a couple of things.
Which is very nice.
Whatever. I wish we'd had a gig. Mm. It's just hard getting. You don't want to hear me go into the old spiel of getting gigs again, dude.
Well, no, I'm just curious, you know, really about not so much about getting gigs. I mean, you kind of sort of said that you spent a lot of your time sort of chasing bands and saying, well, you know, support slots and so forth and so on. I'm just curious as to where you actually play, you know, that you've...
well, we did that, we did the Electric Garden Festival in May, yeah, in Blackpool. That was an inaugural festival, I think. First one they did. And fair play, that was great. I really enjoyed that. It was in a place called the Beat Club. And there was a... How many people did you say were there over the weekend?
It was 3 days.
It was double figures, which is something for us.
We've got a couple of gigs coming up with Focus and Curved Day as well.
We've managed to blag us a couple of support slots with Focus, Curved Day, Magenta.
That's pretty prestigious sort of names that you're throwing around. You're throwing into the ring there. I mean, Focus, Magenta, and Curved Day. I mean,
then too bad.
Possibly Caravan, we don't know yet. But.
Yeah, possibly Caravan. I'm talking with their manager, who's a nice guy called Martin Davenport. We've got those gigs coming up. But again, the only whinge is because these are in November, so it's September that we're doing. Can we whinge in? September, we're doing nothing so far. Are we doing anything in September?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're playing Curved Day 30th September.
What no, that's the poor.
Magenta 30th September.
October and
yeah.
In the start of November,
focus for any
reason.
Did you hear any of that then, Dan? Speak up, Dan, come on.
Yeah, man, you gotta speak up. You gotta really raise your voice, especially on a speakerphone. You know, you gotta be as loud as possible.
Speak up, come on.
Can't remember what I said now.
When?
Talking about gigs, aren't
you? Yeah, go on.
30th of September in Cork with a supporting Magenta, that one. So
then?
I can't remember, it's in October though, with Curved Air.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple in November in there.
Speak up, come on. He's got to be disciplined, so a young boy, and he needs discipline, to be honest. I know that sounds rude and raunchy and salacious.
Good album,
yeah. But no, he needs to... speak up, come on. He's shy, he's got to learn to speak, haven't he?
Absolutely, come on, Titch 2, do it, man.
Speak up, come on. And what's the other gigs?
I start in November with Focus in the Globe.
Oh, the Globe in Cardiff, that's right.
Sorry, the Globe in Cardiff, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Where else, Dan?
Supporting the Reasoning and the Robin.
Oh, yeah, the Reasoning and another Welsh band.
13th of November, right.
Well done. 13th of November and the Robin, so...
The Peel on the 19th.
Oh, yeah, Peel.
Or in Magenta.
Magenta, that's right. Traders then, but these two are actually debbing for Magenta for a couple of gigs in November and December. Magenta's still in our rhythm section just for a brief couple of gigs.
And Summer's End.
And Summer's End, yeah. So these two, I can't think of an appropriate word. I don't mind, I'm only kidding. It's okay. They dab in for Magenta for a bit.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's surely, again, it's kudos to the band. I mean, you know, that you're doing it. And you said that's the Summer's End Festival as well, yeah?
Yeah, they do in Summer's End.
On Sunday, yeah. I think.
They're a good band, they're a nice band, a nice bunch of guys, Magenta anyway.
So. Well, it sounds like you're supporting, so, I mean, certainly in the progosphere, some pretty well-known acts there. I mean, all the ones that you've mentioned so far are pretty big names.
Yeah, I'm not moaning, but I think it's great. I'm dancing.
You want to get some of the Pineapple Thief again?
Yeah, we play with the Pineapple Thief, yeah, in March as well. They're doing a tour in November. We may be playing the Globe with them. We did gigs with them in March. They were fantastic, to be honest. Great bunch of people as well.
Yeah.
We like the Pineapple Thief. We've got nothing but good things to say about the Pineapple. Not that we slag anyone else off, but the Pineapple Thief, we really enjoyed them live, and they were a great bunch of
good guys as well.
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, they're an excellent band, definitely, yeah.
They're remixing their old material at the moment.
And it was great talking to Keith, the drummer, finding out that his uncle was the keyboard player in Gentle Giant.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's really interesting. I've got to ask, the CD with Spiral Vendetta, before either I or somebody else starts looking at the CD itself, is there some sort of cryptic message in the text? I know you've highlighted the name of the band and the copyright and the album name. Is there anything else?
If you stare at it long enough, you will see the phrase, "Die, Dan, die." That was the... No. There's nothing in it. I think Chris did it. There may well be something. There may well be a cryptic message in there somewhere. And I hope it isn't God sticks a shite or something like that, because Chris is the art guy that was responsible for that. But I haven't found it. I haven't looked, but there may well be a cryptic message. But I don't want anyone wasting their time looking into it in a Where's Wally kind of thing, because there might well be nothing there as long as I know. As far as I know.
But, you know, there could be.
Well, it probably isn't, so don't waste your time.
But you never know.
You never know.
But you never know. Like all things, it's possible.
Yeah, there's no prize.
Keep looking at it.
Keep looking. There's no prizes for if you find anything.
Keep playing it.
But don't blame me if you find nothing there. Please.
Again, it's really, you know, I did like that. That was a nice touch, having the I mean, it's only the copyright notice and the name of the band and the name of the album, but it's a nice touch, you know, just having all these sort of random.
Really creative blow. I have to admit, he
absolutely.
Really blows us away every time. Chris McGuire, his name is, and. The stuff he comes up with, even with the EP, I still love the EP artwork, and I take no responsibility for any of the artwork at all. They're all Chris's ideas. As he said, they're inspired by the music, but, you know, he's really creative, and I think it complements the music well, because there's a lot of aspects to his artwork. There's always something new to find. You know, if you look close enough, he puts a lot of it. We couldn't be more pleased with him.
I love the inner picture in the booklet.
Yeah, the inlay.
It reminded me of sort of a more modern version of sort of that Rod Steen sort of influence, but it was like a modern bent on it, like, you know.
He's a creative guy, and he's moved to America now. He's moved to New York. I think he's still there.
Is he going to be responsible for the artwork for the future forthcoming album, or is he going to be...
I hope so. I haven't spoken to him since he moved to New York straight after he done our album cover. I don't know if it was related incidents, but I hope that he can still do it. I'd be extremely disappointed if he wasn't doing it, to be honest with you.
Does he listen to the music first and then do the... you mentioned Roger Dean. I know that's something that he often does, is actually listen to the album first and then go away and design something, or does he just do something totally off the bat?
No, he insists on listening to the music, because I, you know, for me, I just say, just do something, please. And he's going, well, you know, send me the CD. All right. So, yeah, he does... he listens intensely to the music and creates the stuff from there. Yeah, so it does work. And, you know, I hope he's around to do the next album, and I hope he enjoys it, because maybe
he can do it from wherever he lives.
I can't see any reason why he couldn't do it, even if he's in New York. I can't see any reason these days.
Absolutely not, especially with like email and all the rest of it. You know, there's no reason why he can't send the album over to him to listen. And if he's still,
I'd be gutted if he wasn't doing it. I have to admit, because it's part of the package for me. That the inlay and the artwork is really important, and I think his stuff especially complements us, because I don't think, I know Steve Drone compares him to Roger Dean, but I don't think
it's not like really.
I don't think it's traditional sort of prog artwork then or anything like that, which is why I always want the only sort of criteria we've ever given him is we don't want to be pigeonholed, even though Grizzlyn moaned earlier on that we can't be pigeonholed. We always said, I don't want the cover to pigeonhole or deter, you know, give anyone an idea of what music they're about to listen to. I don't like that.
It's going to have to be something completely off the wall, or, you know, like unlike...
Yeah, because we showed Dan and Steve the original artwork for the EP, which was just, it was actually stone images, and it was, and for me, it looked as though it was going to be metal, you know, it's going to be heavy metal music, and that's the kind of thing. I don't want it to conjure up, I don't want it to determine a style of music that you're about to listen to. I don't like album covers that do that, for me anyway.
No, nothing wrong for striving for originality yet again.
There's that, I'm famous, and I can't take any credit for it, as much as I'd like to.
Well, listen, all the best, boys. Take it easy. It's been, like I say, really, it's great chatting to you. All the best for the future and the forthcoming release, and really look forward to speaking to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Brilliant. Cheers, Darren. Speak to you again.
All right, guys. Take care, yeah?
Take care.
Cheers.